Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Today, in continuation of the Miracles of Jesus series, if you looked at your handout, it's just basically Luke 4:37, and I'm going to read it through and then go verse by verse almost, just as the Holy Spirit really reveals and speaks to us. And so in verse 37, it says, "And the report about him went into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" I just think that those scriptures and that particular story is so incredibly powerful. I mean, in the way that scholars have assumed that the miracles of Jesus started in the chronological order, yes, we have done them, 1, 2, 3, 4, this being the fourth one, but I just am so excited to teach this one because it just speaks so much to me. If you look in verse 7, it says, "The report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region." And I had to look at that and back up, because anytime the Bible says something like a report went out about Jesus or something to that effect, and that people came from miles around to come and be with him and see him and touch him, I have to back up verses and say, well, what report went out? I mean, was it just, here's the Messiah? Or was it, here is somebody who thinks that he's an amazing prophet? Here's the healer? What report went out? So if you back up just a couple of verses, and you look in Luke 4:32, I'm going to read it. It says, "They were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." Number one, the report was that he had authority. And see, before that, the teachers and the scribes were teaching the word of God, but it was without power and authority. So the report that went out about Jesus, Luke 34:32 says, is that he had authority, number one, and power. In verse 35, it says, "Jesus cast out a demon, and the people were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word this is. For the authority and the power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" See, for the first time, the people saw authority and power. And the Word of God says that Jesus Christ has the authority and power because he's the Son of God. He is the Word. And what's so amazing is for us to catch that and realize that the report went out and the people came forth. And we should always assume that the Word is going to have authority and power. It's not only going to have authority and power, it's going to have results. And that is what people need to look for and want in this world, is they want results. But to have results, we have to have faith. So we have to have faith that the Word is going to have authority and results. That's why whenever you go someplace, and sometimes Lacey and I travel and we'll go to another church, and it's just like the Word is taught in this humdrum kind of spirit. It grieves me, because the Word has authority and power. In Isaiah 55:11, I'm going to just say it because I know I've memorized this, but it's in the Kathleen Whitten version, and so I just can't paraphrase it this morning. I've got to say it exactly like the Scripture says. "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it. And you should have that expectation every time you hear the Word of God. Every time you read the Word of God, every time you see the Word of God, you should have the expectation that it's going forth into you, body, soul, and spirit, with authority and power and results. Because that expectation is faith. And faith is what activates the Word of God to accomplish that which God has sent it forth. And that's what's so exciting, is these people came to see Jesus with this expectation because they had heard that he taught the scriptures with authority, power, and results. And we have Jesus Christ in us. We have the Son of God in us. And so whenever we speak the word, no matter who we are, even if it's a tiny child out of the mouth of babes, we should expect and have faith that that word would have authority and power and results. The authority and power and results in your life can be absolutely beyond your imaginations. Ephesians 3:20 says that we are to know that God would give us exceedingly abundantly above all we could hope or ask or expect. I mean, that is so exciting. And so even this morning, while I am presenting the Word of God, I don't want you just looking at your handout and thinking, okay, well, you know, checking off this class off my list. I want you to be expecting in your house, in your body, in your life, in your heart, in your family, in your spouse, in yourself. We always come to some class for someone else, you know. It's like, oh, darn, I wish so-and-so was here, you know. But for yourself, receive the authority and the power and the result of the Word of God into you, the power to heal you, body, soul, and spirit, the power to renew you, restore you. I love that. It's so good. So the people came because he had authority and he had power. And if you look in verse 38, as we move on, it says, "Now he arose from the synagogue and he entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother," so his mother-in-law, "was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them." And I want you to look at something right there. We are to imitate Christ. And so, as silly as you might feel, whatever he did, we are to do. And I'm going to give you a couple scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate Christ. 1 John 2:6, walk as he walked. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. We are to imitate Christ. And so, when someone has a fever, what are we supposed to do? What did he do? He rebuked it. He rebuked the fever. I cannot tell you how many times I've had a fever and my husband has rebuked the fever. And the times that the fever has gone. And then there are times that the fever has not gone. But that is what we do. We imitate Christ. You need to know that that is what you're to do. And if you have questions like, well, nobody's ever told me that before, or I'm going to feel really stupid doing that, or I don't think that's right, lady, then look at the Word of God. Imitate God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Imitator there in the Greek means follower. It's the same word in that particular scripture. Be a follower, be an imitator. Be a follower, be an imitator. You know, if we really look like Jesus on the earth, not that we're perfect, but God's given grace to our family to just reveal how imperfect we are. But I can't tell you how much the Word of God has blessed our lives. I can't even begin to tell you. I can't even begin to tell you what it will do for you to speak the truth out of your mouth. In our time of need, to be speaking the Word of God, which never returns void, which is what Jesus did. what God did to create the world. He spoke it into being. Let there be light. Let there be, let there be, let there be. And the world was created. Our words create because of God. And we know that. You can speak over a child often enough that they're stupid and that they'll be a loser and that they'll never amount to anything. And they will live up to that. Unless they have serious intervention, they will receive that and become that. Or you can speak over yourself and your husband and your wife and your household. As for me and this household, we will serve the Lord. Proverbs 4 says, raise up a child in the way in which they will go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Can't even tell you how many stories, true stories that I know of from people whose kids it didn't look good for a while, and they came back, every single one. And you know what gives me hope? Even Billy Graham's son. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, Billy Graham, I mean, I don't think he made the mistakes that I did. I can't see Billy Graham just, you know, getting really frustrated and crying in front of his children and then saying, that's it, I'm going to Target, you know, like I've done and do and probably might do again. And I remember the time not too long ago when I was going through an amazingly, incredibly horrible time. My eyes were, they were saying that we needed to radiate my eyes. It was after leukemia, after chemo, and the chemo had affected my eyes, and it was a mistake that a nurse had done. So I'd forgiven her, but my eyes were suffering incredibly for basically about a year and a half. And because of all the doctors and specialists and flying here and flying there, because of the intense suffering and having to see all of these doctors, and we have no drug insurance because Lacey works for himself and we just don't. And so it was just, it was a draining, a financially draining, emotionally draining, physically draining, relationally draining. Have you ever been there? And out of our mouth, I kept saying, well, the God that I know supplies all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And it didn't look like it was happening, you know. But out of your mouth, you have authority and power because you have the word of God, and that is a scripture. And on my birthday, we received this check, anonymous check on my birthday. Now, how the person did not know it's my birthday. It was not a relative. Amazing. It was also, I mean, unbelievable. It was also, just as a side note to you, just a little thing I want to throw in there about tithing and giving. I had just written a check a week before to a couple that we respect very much who are in the ministry, and they needed to retire, and they had basically not any retirement because they'd put all their money into their church, but received 10 times back. I mean, amazing. It's like just what the word says, give and it'll be given to you, unto you, just overflowing. But we've got to believe it and speak it and trust it. It's powerful. So here is Jesus, and he's rebuked the fever. And I love what happened with the mother-in-law of Peter. It says, immediately she arose and served them. You know what I love about that? It says that she wanted to get well. She wanted to get well. And you're going to have times that you're going to pray over people, and you're going to rebuke the fever. You're going to do whatever God has moved you to do. And the more you're in the Word, the more you're going to get bold, and the more you're going to go, you know what? I don't care what anyone says. I would rather believe for way too much and get some of it, then believe for nothing and get all of it. I would rather imitate Christ in everything that he did and take his word as his word. I would rather look like Jesus on the earth and have people know how imperfect I was, but how much I wanted to please my Father. I would rather hear God say, you know, you just really believe me a little too much. Can you ever hear him say that? He would never say that. What he's going to say to some people is, you were lukewarm, and I spit you out of my mouth. That's the book of Revelations. Not a pleasant thing to hear. God would actually rather you just not know anything than to know enough to just be like complacent about it. Eh, I've heard about tithing, big deal. Yeah, well, I know I'm supposed to speak the word over my family, but I'm going to turn the TV on because I'm really tired. I've had it. I've had a really bad day. We need to know that the truth is the truth. But there is no results in it for us as individuals unless we do it. The Bible says to not just be hearers of the word, but be doers. If you're hearers and not doers, the book of James says it's like going and looking at your face in a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. Read the book of James. It's so awesome. It's also very convicting. And even as I say this, I'm kind of thinking, gosh, how many times have I turned the TV on? How many times have I just said, that's it? I am not going to speak any more healing scriptures over my body. I have had it. And then I forget how many things God has healed me of. That's it. I'm not praying over my children anymore. I have had it. I have had it with both of them. I'm leaving. I'm going to Target. And then I forget. Oh my gosh. How much they've changed. How much they've grown. I remember when we first adopted Storm and the fear in that little boy. And how often Lacey and I would pray over him. 2 Timothy 1:7. That he's not received a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Romans 8, that he's not received a spirit of bondage, which leads again to fear, but a spirit of adoption. And the word good, whereby he cries out, Abba, Father. And that little boy loves his daddy. I mean, the word is powerful. The word is Jesus, and you have Jesus in you. You look at verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all of those who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him. And here we're supposed to imitate him again, aren't we, Bitsy, aren't we? And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the demons also came out of many crying and saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. You know what is so powerful to me in this scripture? Just so incredibly powerful. Is it says, he laid his hands on every one of them. And I love those words, every one of them, because it shows me Christ's compassion for us as individuals. That even though, I mean, here's the difference. I'm looking at you as a group. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, of course, some of you may be thinking what you need to do after this and your mind's not even here. I hope not. I hope you're right here and listening to the Holy Spirit. But Jesus doesn't see you as a group, ever. He sees you as his child. He knows everything about you. He knows what you don't know. That's what I love about the Word of God. It says the more that I know Jesus, the more that you know Jesus, the more actually you, your true self is revealed to you. That's so amazing. I hear all the time about people trying to find themselves, and I'm like, find Jesus and you'll find you. You don't have to find yourself if you're a Christian. You find Jesus, and then he reveals to you the truth about who you were really created to be. And then here, I want you to note, many of you may know this, but Christ means the anointed one. If you look in the Greek, I know that's a little bit simplified, but Christ means the anointed one. So the demons are literally saying he's the anointed one, meaning he is the Messiah, meaning he is the one with the power. Not just the scriptures like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but the power behind the word of God. the power behind the word. Verse 42 says, "Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" What kept speaking to me and is that he departed and went into a deserted place. That needs to speak to all of us. We all need to depart from the crowd and get into a deserted place, a place where we can hear the Lord. Last night at our little women's conference, we had a totally 100% word of mouth, last minute women's conference. Anybody could come, completely last minute, no emails, no written invitations, just come. And what was so amazing is we had, you know, two awesome speakers and awesome food and all this stuff going on. And one of my favorite parts of it, I was speaking with one of my dearest friends, Anne, was the time at the end when it was totally silent. And there was just a little bit of music in the background, just some praise music that a wonderful praise leader was doing on a guitar. And there was silence. And we were quiet. And we're all uncomfortable with that. And we shouldn't be. We need to go to a deserted place. And if Jesus did that, and we're imitators of him, and we know that he was renewed that way by going to a deserted place and being quiet and not apologizing about it. "I'm so sorry. I've got to have a break. I've got to have time off. I got to leave. I'm so sorry. I apologize that I'm taking this time for me." No, he just went. And as imitators of Christ, I am so convicted. I am so convicted. Because that is not what I do. My personality is schedule, list, goals, achieve goals, never, ever really thank God very long for that and move on to the next goal. Check, 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 check. I have my grocery list on the computer. I admitted that a couple years ago. I've been teased ever since. But I have learned, and I'm learning. Let me say I'm learning. Wrong. Not past tense, present tense. I've got to go to a deserted place or I am going to just not have the power and the authority. Because that is given to us when we are renewed with God and we are to imitate Christ. This is very, very key. You know, I wish I could tell every teenager in the world this. This is so key, but it's not just key for teenagers. You know, it's key for us as well. Right here, what it says, "And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving him." I want you to know the key word is crowd. Right there, crowd. Crowd. Number one, sought him. Number two, went to him. And number three, I want you to see here, tried to keep him from leaving them. You know, I couldn't get past that. And not only just the idea of a crowd, the idea of the world, the idea of the message of the world, the idea of what you need to achieve to be happy, the idea of just grabbing us and pulling us back into our old ways, pulling us back into the habits of perhaps the people we used to hang out with, are pulling us, the crowd. That's what's going to keep you from that quiet place with God. And you cannot go with the crowd. And we're going to see in a minute what are we supposed to do, because Jesus shows us what he did. But I want you to look at one key thing, that word tried to keep him, and it kept coming up to me, so I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it means to hold back, keep firm position of, to hinder the progress of. Do you know that If you don't have any time in your life, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't know that I can back it with scripture. You may argue with me. I don't know. But if you don't have any time in your life where you are standing all alone on something, you may want to question if you're really following Christ with your whole heart. There are going to be times where God may call you to be the only one to do what His Word is saying to do. The only one. And that's when we have got to do what Jesus did. He knew His purpose. He knew His purpose. And He did not want to be kept back by the crowd. If you look at this word keep, it means to hold back, keep firm possession of, to hinder the progress of. And the crowd actually wanted Him to do something good. They wanted Him to stay with them. And that's the same thing with your friends or whatever, and my friends, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, and a lot of my friends are, you know, much better people and better Christians than I am. But if there's ever a time that they even accidentally are keeping me or you from what God is telling you to do, you've got to leave the crowd. When we were adopting Storm, we had every family member and every well-meaning friend that knew about it say, the doors have closed. We really feel in our hearts, you are not to proceed the second time to go to Armenia and get this little baby. Don't go. We did not have anyone intimately close to us, maybe one, say, go. And that's so painful because you start questioning, did we really hear God? What are we going to do? And now going against the crowd? I mean, I can't imagine my son in an orphanage. I cannot imagine him. There is not a little boy on this earth that loves his family more than my son. Every night he prays for his mommy and his daddy and his grandparents and his sister and his cousins. He loves family. He loves family. And I think, what if we had gone with the crowd? There will be times where you will have to stand alone with your spouse, and there are going to be times where you're going to just have to stand alone. And Jesus could do that because He knew His purpose, and you're going to be able to do that when you know your purpose in Christ. And you've got the same purpose He does, believe it or not. He says, for this purpose I have been sent, to preach the kingdom of God. And if you back up in verse 43, it says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities because for this purpose I have been sent. And I want to just leave you with this morning. We do have the same purpose as Jesus. We're not all called to be preachers and we're not all called to preach, but our lives should preach. Our lives should show the truth. Our lives should show power, authority, and results. We should be speaking the word over our children. We should be speaking the word over our situations. We should be believing the word to go out with power and authority as Jesus Christ did. Not with complacency and mediocrity and with a lukewarm spirit of, yeah, well, you know. And not with, oh, well, you know, I don't know anybody else that really rebukes fever, Kathleen, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying that you should leave here and go rebuke everybody's fever. I'm saying that you need to pray and say, how am I to imitate Christ? I know that the book of Ephesians and the book of 1 Corinthians and so many other scriptures say to imitate Christ. How am I to do that? Every scripture you read, He said, come unto me, the little children. Do you do that? I'm convicted by that. Do I listen to little children? He says, go away to a deserted place. Do you do that? He says it by what He did. He says to love your enemies and bless those that curse you and hate you. Do you do that? We're to imitate Jesus. That is our purpose. And if we don't know that purpose, we will be held back by the crowd so easily. Oh, Kathleen, you know what? There's nobody else at work that reads the Bible in the morning. I get there at 6:30. I have to. I've got to get there at 6:30, or else I'm going to be so far behind. And you know what? I don't open my Bible because nobody else at work opens their Bible. I mean, that's just not what we do. Go against the crowd. Stand alone. When we go to face God, there is not going to be anybody behind us or beside us. It's going to be just us and God. And you know what? He's going to give us this big old hug because he's our dad. He's our Abba. He loves you. He knows everything about you. And he still loves you. That's what I love, you know? Because I know things about me and I'm thinking, oh God, that you would put up with me. And yet he does. But he wants us to imitate Christ, not only so we can change the world, not only so we can impact our family, our city, our state, our country, our nation, our world, but so our own lives can be changed from glory to glory. We can have that joy. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. We can have that abundant life in John 10:10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for these people and I pray for any persons that would hear this message, Lord Jesus, that they would with all of their hearts want to imitate you, follow you, that would be their purpose. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that they would always expect the word to have authority and power and results, and that they would in their lives go against the crowd in order to fulfill the destiny and the purpose that you have for them. Clearly speak to them and give them a heart to open your word, to speak your word, to live your word, to have faith in your word. For your word is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.